Morning. Welcome to our morning service here on the 17th of May, 2020. Good to have you with us. Please continue to pray one for another. Pray for our leaders that they will make right decisions. Pray for wisdom for our church about when we should start back up. And pray for our missionaries. Pray for our healthcare workers. And Cindy McGregor specifically asked if we pray for her sister, Karen, who just had back surgery and is now having paralysis. She also is unsafe, so pray for her many unsafe family in the church. So please be in prayer for those. And I appreciate just praying one for another. Pray again for wisdom about the church situation with the lockdown. Just for God's leading. So I would say we'll give the government two more weeks and then we'll have church no matter what. But we'll trust the Lord on that. So today we're going to start with The Fight Is On. And hopefully you have the lyrics available to you there on Facebook. But it fits in with the theme of our message today. Great hymn, The Fight Is On. So let's sing that together to get our service started.
The sound is ringing out the cry to arms, is heard afar and near. The Lord of hosts is marching on to victory, the triumph of the Christ will soon appear. The fight is on, O Christian soldier, and face to face in stern array. With armor gleaming and colors streaming, the right and wrong engage today. The fight is on, but be not weary. Be strong and in His mind hold fast. If God be for us, His banner o'er us, we'll sing the victor's song at last. The fight is on, arouse ye soldiers, brave and true, Jehovah leads. Victory will assure. Go buckle on the armor God has given you, and in His strength and to the end endure. Fight is on, O Christian soldier, face to face in stern array. With armor gleaming and colors streaming, the right and wrong engage today. Is on, but be not weary. Be strong and in His mind hold fast. If God be for us, His banner o'er us, we'll sing the victor's song at last. The fight is leading on to certain victory. The bow of promise spans the eastern sky. His glorious name is every land shall honored be. The morn will break, the dawn of peace is nigh. It is on, O Christian soldier, and face to face in stern array. With armor gleaming and color streaming, the right and wrong engage today. The fight is on, but be not weary. Be strong and in His mind hold fast. If God be for us, His banner o'er us, we'll sing the victor's song at last.
Excellent. I hope you enjoyed singing that with us there in your homes. Again, pray for God's will. Pray for our leaders. Just pray for all of God's leading in this situation, and when it would be His will for us to return to services. I pray the government changes their mind about how they're treating the churches very soon. So we'll leave that in the Lord's hands. But today we're in the book of 2 Timothy and chapter 4, if you want to turn there in your Bibles. This is an interesting chapter because it's actually the last book that Paul wrote, which makes it the last chapter that Paul wrote before he was martyred there in Rome. So So these are kind of his final words, if you will. And in the course of this chapter, we find some great encouragement for us as God's children. So we're going to look at verses 5 to 8 of 2 Timothy chapter 4, if you want to turn there. Beginning in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 5, the Bible says, "But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." So I'm going to entitle it, "May Full Proof of Thy Ministry." Let's pray. Lord, we pray for your wisdom, for your presence, for your help, guidance as we look into your word together, use it in our lives, Lord, to encourage us, to grow us, to convict us, whatever the need might be. But may we catch the vision, Lord, about our own ministry, that we might make full proof of it and accomplish it and finish our course. And Lord, I pray that everyone listening would be helped by this time in your word and by the power of your word. And Lord, if there's anyone unsaved, they'll realize they must be born again. So we commit this to you now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So Paul here is encouraging Timothy and us to fulfill what God has called us to do. And before reminding us that we have a ministry and that we need to accomplish it, he gives us some great advice there on how to make that real. There in verse 5, he says, "Watch thou in all things." A part of being a faithful servant of Jesus Christ is expecting the return of Jesus Christ, watching for his return. And that should have a purifying effect in our lives. Jesus told the disciples there in Mark chapter 13, verse 37, he says, "And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch." Just that one word, watch. Watch for his return. Expect Jesus to come back. And realize that when he does, our time of service here on earth is complete. And whatever we've done for or not done for Jesus Christ is finished. And we will be judged for it. So watch. Ephesians 6, 8 says, 18, sorry, says, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto." Watching with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So we're to be watching, we're to be expecting. Colossians 4, 2 says, "Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving." So we're to be watching, we're to be expecting Jesus to come back while we are fulfilling our ministry. And then he goes on to say there in verse 5, endure afflictions. If we choose to serve Jesus, if we choose to do right, if we choose to make full proof of our ministry, we will have afflictions. It's part of the refining process from our Lord. It's also going to occur because we're going to be persecuted for our faith. But when those afflictions come, God wants us to endure them. God wants us to not get discouraged or not get angry or not blame God or not complain, but to endure them. To acknowledge that they're from God and they have a purpose in our lives. And this is very important. Over in chapter 2, if you would look there of 2 Timothy verse 10, he says, "Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake." In other words, Paul says, these trials that are coming upon me, I'm not going to give up. I'm going to endure them for the sake of others, for the sake of people that need to hear, for the sake of Christians that need encouragement. I'm going to endure. And Paul is saying for us as Christians, endure. Endure the afflictions that will come into our lives. And the Bible has a lot to say about this. Psalm 34:19 says, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all." And if you would look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17, talking about enduring afflictions this morning as part of making full proof of our ministry. 2 Corinthians, look at chapter 4, verse 17. "For our light affliction," so we're going to have afflictions, "which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." There will be afflictions, but God wants us to endure. Go to the book of James in chapter 1. if you would, in verse 12, James chapter 1 and verse 12. And again, we'll be reminded about how important it is that we endure the afflictions that come our way. 2 James 1, verse 12. Blessed is a man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Blessed is the man that endureth. Then over look at James chapter 5, if you would, in verse 11, referring to Job. Behold, we count them happy which endure. You've heard the patience of Job. Job endured. So Paul is saying that he wants us to make full proof of our ministry. And part of accomplishing that is to be watching for the return of Jesus Christ, to endure the afflictions that will come into our life. And then he goes on to say there in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5, do the work of an evangelist. If you're a born-again Christian this morning, you are an evangelist. You are one who's been called of God to take the good news of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. That makes you an evangelist. The modern-day usage of the word is talking about an itinerant preacher. That's not what this is talking about. This is talking about people who take the good news to others. It also can refer to people who go and plant churches in other places. But we're to accomplish this in our own ministry. If you would, look at 2 Corinthians in chapter 5 and verse 18. And God makes it very clear that part of our ministry is to tell others about Jesus. Notice 2 Corinthians 5, verse 18. All things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. We've been given a ministry. If you're born again, you've been given a ministry of God, or from God, and that is the ministry of reconciliation. The ministry to take the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ to lost people so they can be born again, and when they're born again, they're reconciled to God. So we've been given the ministry of reconciliation. And Paul says, I want you to do the work of an evangelist. That's preaching the gospel to the lost. We've all been saved, but we have a purpose for the Lord. We have a ministry that we've been given from the Lord. And that is what Paul is talking about here in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5. Watch, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. I would ask you this morning, what is your ministry? God has given all of us gifts. It might be teaching, it might be helps. It might be exhortation, it might be giving, it might be mercy, it might be something else. But God has given you gifts. God wants you to put them to work for Him. He wants you to make full proof of your ministry. He wants you to make a difference. You know, when a person first gets saved, they initially are being ministered unto, right? The church is helping them and teaching them and loving on them and helping them grow in their faith. But as they mature in their Christian life, God wants them now to progress to the point where they then to begin minister to others. And He wants every Christian to get to that point to where we're not just being ministered to, but we're ministering. And yet there's a lot of Christians out there who have lost sight of how important it is that they have a ministry, and God wants them to go to work and make it real. He doesn't want every Christian to be a liability to the church. In other words, someone who just comes to get. He wants Christians to be an asset, someone who comes to give of themselves and minister to others. He wants every Christian to be a member of a local church so they can put their gifts to use and they can make full proof of their ministry. I hope you know what your ministry is, and I hope you're putting it to use. If you aren't, you need to get busy. Paul used some examples here. If you would look at 1 Corinthians chapter 16 of people who understood the importance of making full proof of their ministry, and specifically here in 1 Corinthians and chapter 16, he's talking about Stephanas and his family. And notice 1 Corinthians 16 and 15. He says, I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. So Paul here, as he's closing out the book of 1 Corinthians, he lifts up this household of Stephanas and he says, I want to point out these people and use them as an example of people that have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. That's what God wants for all of us. He wants us to make full proof of our ministry. What is your ministry? What does God want you to do? What part does God want you to play in serving Him in your local church? I hope you know what that is. I hope you don't just come to church to get, but you come to church to give of yourself, of the gifts, of the talents, of the time that you have, and that you would minister to others and make full proof of your ministry. Go to Colossians chapter 4. We'll see another example that Paul lifts up as he's closing out the book of Colossians. Chapter 4, notice verse 17. And say to our Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. So he's writing to someone at the church at Colossae, and he says, make sure to say to Archippus, you've been given a ministry, fulfill it. And God says the same to every one of us. You've been given a ministry, fulfill it. What is your ministry? What part are you playing in ministering to other believers for the sake of Jesus Christ? We're to be watching. We're to be enduring the afflictions. We're to be doing the work of an evangelist. But we're to be making full proof of our ministry. What is your ministry? Ministry is why we've been left here. If you go to Galatians chapter 5, you know, when God saved us, He could have just taken us to heaven because it's done. We're going to heaven. There's nothing the devil can do about it. So why does He leave us behind to fight the sin of this world and to fight these battles with the flesh? Why? Because we're here to minister. If we got saved, it's because somebody ministered. Somebody preached the gospel to us. Somebody might have written a tract and we found it. Somebody made it possible for us to hear about Jesus so that we could get saved. And if you've grown in your Christian life, I guarantee you it didn't happen in a vacuum. People ministered to you. People were a blessing to you. People served you and helped you grow in your Christianity. Go to Galatians 5, verse 13. For brethren, you've been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Serve one another. Part of loving one another is serving one another, showing that love through action. And we're here to serve one another. Praise God. Go to Hebrews chapter 6. And we'll see this connection between loving one another and serving one another. What is your ministry and are you making full proof of it? Hebrews chapter 6 verse 10. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward His name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. We're here to minister to the saints and to continue ministering to the saints. What is your ministry? Do you just go to church to receive or do you go to church to minister? Are you just a liability or are you an asset? This is what God wants from us. He saved us to serve. He saved us and left us here to minister and to make full proof of that ministry. And Paul here is saying, I'm at the end of my ministry. God has used me to do many things and see churches planted, people saved, Christians grown. And I want now you to make full proof of your ministry. So notice, go back to our passage in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Go to 1 Peter chapter 4 really quick, if you would. Passage I wanted to show you. 1 Peter chapter 4. Look at verse 10. As every man hath received the gift, so you've all received a gift if you're saved, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as the ability which God hath giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Minister the same one to another. You've been given gifts. Why? So that you can minister to one another. So you can make full proof of your ministry. So now go back to our passage, 2 Timothy chapter 4. So Paul here again, he's at the end of his ministry. He's finishing up his letters writing this final one here in 2 Timothy. And he encourages us to watch, to endure afflictions, to do the work of an evangelist, and to make full proof of our ministry. Look what he says in verse 6. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. Paul knew that his time to go to heaven was close. Maybe they had established a date for his martyrdom in there in Rome. We don't know, but he said, I know I'm at the end. But look what he says in verse 7. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I've kept the faith. If you could have a set of goals for your Christian life, there would be a perfect set of goals to have. To be able to say at the end of your Christian life, I have fought a good fight. I didn't quit. I didn't give up. I kept fighting. Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 6:12, fight the good fight of faith. We're here to fight the devil. We're here to fight sin so that people can be saved and Christians can be ministered unto. We're here to fight. We're in a war. We're called soldiers of Jesus Christ. And we're here to minister to the lost and minister to other believers. And that's going to involve a fight. But then he goes on to say, I finished my course. Isn't it sad how many Christians that we know of who started off ministering and fulfilling their ministry, and then they just along the way they quit. And now they don't minister to others anymore. They don't go to church anymore. They're not members of a church. They're just sitting at home, not serving Christ. How sad. Is that really how they want to go to the judgment seat of Christ in that state? You know, if you look at the example of Jesus, go to John chapter 4 and verse 34. Jesus here is talking about his own ministry, which he came to earth to fulfill. And he says here in John 4, verse 34, Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish the work. We're here to start, but we're also here to finish. We're here to start the ministry that God has assigned to us, but we're also here to finish that ministry. And I hope you can say, I am not going to quit. I'm going to keep fighting the good fight, and I'm going to finish my course. And Paul goes on to say there in 2 Timothy 4:7, I've kept the faith. Again, how many Christians have said, I quit. I'm going to stop fighting. I'm not going to keep the faith anymore. I've taken my eyes off of Jesus. I've quit going to church. I've quit reading my Bible. I've quit praying. I've just stopped. No, you want to get to the end of your ministry, the end of your Christian life, and say, I've kept the faith. I didn't stop fighting. I didn't stop serving. I didn't stop fulfilling my ministry. And I've kept the faith unto the end. And Paul finishes there in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Look at verse 8. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Paul says, God's going to reward me for what I've accomplished, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love is appearing. As an added bonus, if we will fulfill our ministry, if we will make full proof of our ministry, it shouldn't be our motive, but God's going to reward us for it. God says there's a crown involved for those who finish. So don't let the devil, don't let sin, don't let the world discourage you to the point where you stop. You need to be like Paul. All of us need to be like Paul and say, I fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. And I know that I'm going to see Jesus one day. And when I do, there's a crown waiting for me because I made full proof of my ministry. I hope you know what your ministry is. I hope you can say, I know what God wants me to do with my talents and my time. And I'm going to fulfill it. I'm going to make full proof of it. And I'm going to serve Jesus in my local church with all that I have until the trumpet blows and he calls me home. Make full proof of thy ministry. If you're not saved, you don't have a ministry yet. You have to get saved first to become one of God's soldiers, to become one of God's children, to get the Holy Spirit. First, you need to be born again. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. But if you are a Christian, you're born again, you should know what your ministry is. You should know what God has called you to do, and you should be fulfilling it. You should be making full proof of it. You have found a good local church, and you've gotten yourself involved. You've joined it, and you're part of it. And you're doing everything you can to fulfill the ministry that God has given to you, that you're making full proof of it. And that is God's will for every believer in Jesus Christ. I hope you can say, yes, I'm going to make full proof of my ministry. Let's pray. Lord, I want to thank you for this reminder from your word that we're here to serve. And I pray that each of us would be sure we know what our gifts are and that we're putting them to use to serve Jesus Christ, our Savior. Thank you for Paul and his example, for Jesus and his example. And may we follow in the steps of those who made full proof of their ministry and finished their course, kept the faith. And I pray that that would be our testimony, our goal for Jesus. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We'll see you tonight at 5 o'clock. God bless you. Keep praying.